missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
If you haven't heard by now, South Africa is eyeing a bid to host the Formula One Grand Prix in South Africa in 2026 or 2027. Here's an update from the Minister of Sports, Arts and Culture, Gayton McKenzie, making that announcement and introducing the bidding committee.
Realistically, 2027 is what we are looking at. That's realistically. We're looking at 2027 realistically. But because I'm a serial optimist, I think we might just hear something 2026, but don't hold me to it. I'm just being a serial optimist. But 2027 is what we are looking at. The timelines are like this. The bid committee will report back with the favorable bid end of February, going into March. And which means they have 2 months, January and February, to find that company that will promote F1, the company the government will support, to pull a race off. I think you're looking at around 2 billion rand per year. Which means if you're going to have a five year will be 10 billion, obviously. But I think you're looking at around 2 billion. But I can tell you, we've had offers already from hospitality people wanting to put down 400 million for us to give them hospitality. And we said, no, we're not there yet. They wanted to put down the first 400 million. We said, no, we're not there yet. We've had big sponsors approaching my office every day. They want to get involved. If it is done correctly, it can be very profitable.
That is the voice of the Minister of Sport, Arts and Culture, Gayton McKenzie, having announced South Africa's bid for a Formula One Grand Prix in the 2027 season. That audio clip was attained by our sports reporter, Tsikwe Mulobie, who was at the announcement today. So what does this mean from an economic point of view? It's huge, given that the F1, as we know, attracts a significant audience, billionaires from across the world, and of course, really would contribute significantly to the tourism and hospitality sector and highlight South Africa's prowess from a sporting point of view. We thought to get someone who can unpack this for us as an independent analyst, as a chartered accountant, but also an F1 supporter and someone who is an avid traveler, having witnessed how it is that other nations that we're competing against physically and practically have hosted successful international sporting events. Kaya Sithole joins us now on the line. Jobe, sawubona.
Sawubona and welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back, Kaya. I should be saying the same to you. I'm not too sure because I never really know in which part of the world you are. You've been to Wimbledon. You've been to the F1. You've studied at Oxford. The list does go on. And I guess that highlights the level of respect and admiration we have for you. But maybe let's just start there. As someone who has actually witnessed international sporting events and participated in them, you've experienced not only the energy, but the infrastructure, the culture and the economics of those countries. What does it take to host a phenomenal sporting event like the F1?
Yeah, I think in short terms, it takes a lot of resources, both within the country and outside the country. And I think when we talk about the type of investment that is required then, there's actually the big three investment that you need in terms of the infrastructure that makes your country ready to be able to host that. And that is obviously where South Africa would have to spend a lot of resources. It's not just a question of the racetrack. It's a question of all the support infrastructure that is required in order for a Formula One race to even be considered. Mm-hmm. But I think what we do know is that once a race indeed has been confirmed, then there is quite a significant multiplier effect in terms of the various aspects of the economy. And obviously the frontline economic sector will be the hospitality and the tourism industry. But there's also secondary beneficiaries from hosting an event of this nature. So it is indeed quite a massive event, but it's an event that requires a lot of effort and indeed a lot of resources. And not many countries can actually put it off or can even afford it. Some countries have indeed on recent years said that perhaps the cost associated with the licensing fees and everything else are a bit too onerous for their public purse to bear, which is why you need some significant private support in order to get it done.
Mm. And maybe let's talk through some of those numbers. As you say, we're aware the infrastructure and the necessary support needs to be there. But let's talk about the other themes, the licensing and other commitments that business does need to put forward. What does that entail?
So naturally, given just how lucrative the Formula One circuit is, there's always many more people that approach the FIA and say would like to host an event of this nature. What the FIA does is that it has a licensing free agreement in which simply means that you have to pay for the right to host a Formula One race for a particular number of years. again, that is not something that is cheap. It requires a lot of effort, and the numbers vary depending on the FIA's own internal assessments. We do know, for example, that Monte Carlo pays the lowest fee only because it is regarded as the flagship race, the historical legacy race, not because that the fee is the market representation of what the FIA would charge at this particular point in time. So you have to start with that. That requires a lot of significantly difficult negotiations, because there's going to be always many more countries that say, we'd like to bring it on board. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you not only have to sell the fact that you can afford the license fee, but also the fact that you can sell a lucrative race, a race that is able to cater to many various dimensions that the FIA tends to assess in deciding whether they want to obviously bring a race to your country or not. And that's just the stress, the tentative step that you have to engage in before even getting to the process of confirming that you've got the license to host an F1 race.
Got you. For those who aren't familiar with the FIA, it's the global motorsports governing body that essentially is at the center of the Formula One group, and I guess assisting in making sure that this will be allocated accordingly. Let's talk about our competitors here, Kaya, because from what we understand, we've got markets like Morocco, Kenya, and Rwanda, if I'm not mistaken, who are also looking to throw their names into the hat. How do we fare against them?
So the first issue is that we're back to where we were with FIFA, the soccer governing body, in 2002 and 2006, when it realized that for some reason, Africa had never hosted the flagship event. So there was a very explicit commitment to make it happen. So Sepp Blatter drove that particular mission. When it comes to the FIA, Africa is indeed the missing continent in relation to its schedule, because we don't have a race. South Africa last hosted Formula One race in 1993. So there's been a gap ever since. So mm-hmm. if the commitment is firstly to say that there must be a race in Africa, then you're essentially then competing with the different countries within the African continent that will say, we'd like to make an effort, we'd like to launch a bid. So that's a starting point. If, of course, the view is that there should be more than one race, then that makes things a bit easier. But if we're working with the assumption that there's only going to be one additional race allocated to the calendar, and that race will come to Africa, then I think the immediate competition is all of those countries that believe they've got not only the infrastructure, but also the resources in order to pull that off. And from what we know so far, Rwanda has made an explicit intention to bid. Other countries are still a bit more tentative, but I think if the FIA said in principle or said explicitly that they are championing a race in Africa, then you'll see many more countries being more explicit in saying that we'd like to be the ones that are actually bidding for that. Mm-hmm. And that's when we'll actually understand the entire competitor landscape. So far, we just know that it's Rwanda that has been very clear that they'd be very open to putting a bid together.
Got you. And they already attract the NBA in Africa, if I'm not mistaken, and a significant number of conferences in the continent, given the Kigali Convention Center and many other spaces that they host. As a peer-to-peer, are there avenues of collaboration, or is this gloves off in terms of the bid?
Well, I think the most practical thing would be a dual sharing arrangement, which simply says that in 1 year we'll host it in one country and in another year we'll host it in another country, simply because of the costs associated with hosting it on an annual basis. Again, are going to be quite expensive for both countries. So that's probably the ideal model if indeed the view of the FIA is that only one license is available. Alternatively, if you do decide that you want to host it on an annual basis, then you actually have to be able to figure out whether you can find the right institutional partners that can be able to afford the recurring costs associated with that, and whether you then have the ability to maintain the infrastructure to make sure that it always fit for purpose. So then that becomes a bit of a difficult conversation. But I think the governments of Rwanda and South Africa should indeed be open to the idea of collaborating and figuring out whether it is indeed possible to share these rights and resources. But I think when it comes to the question of institutional infrastructure, again, South Africa is probably a few years ahead of Rwanda, but Rwanda has been actively engaging in infrastructure development in recent years with a very clear and explicit intention to reposition themselves, not only as a possible destination for events of this nature, but also one that is open to making particular concessions in order to make things happen. So I think perhaps their commitment and their willingness to really go beyond and the call of duty to make it happen is a bit more mature than we have in the South African context. So they have to wait and see how much work South Africa is willing to do in order to get this done.
Mm-hmm. That's very important just to see where we are. And maybe that's a valid point to start off on. The audio clip we started this conversation off with had the voice of Gayton McKenzie saying that some peers in the hospitality sector were already keen to dig into their pockets and put some capital on the table. How do you see this unfolding from a South African point of view, given where we are with a GNU? Big business obviously does enjoy typically collaborating with the government on big projects of this nature. But if we do look at the expected ROI, I guess I'm asking, what's the likelihood of this going forward?
The most difficult part will be to convince the South African taxpayer to put any part of the bill. That will be remarkably difficult to get across the line. So the best chance to be able to marshal enough private sector resources to be able to put the bill in its entirety with perhaps some minor but strategically important support from the state. I don't think the province of Gauteng has got the capacity to absorb such a hit, whether it's the infrastructure cost or the license cost in order for them to get them. So you have to be able to figure out how to get the right private sector resources with the right institutional support from the government to get it there. If there's going to be a request that says the state must make an investment into a vanity project, as some people might call it, you'll find that remarkably difficult to sell. And I think the recent history of how the World Cup projects essentially became white elephants afterwards would make it very difficult for anyone to be able to sell that in light of limited resources and competing demands on those particular resources. I just don't see the public purse being able to bear any of this.
Got you. Sure. There's so much to consider, Kaya, but we're looking forward to seeing how the bidding committee does come forward and the insight that we'll hear going forward. Shall we see you wearing your famous headgear at the next major sporting event somewhere in the world?
We shall try. We'll try our best.
I'm pulling your leg here, Kaya, but I know which image you know I'm referring to. Always a pleasure speaking to you and wishing you a fantastic festive season. We always appreciate the feedback that you offer us here on Kaya 959 as a whole, whether it's on Seize the World, on Point of View, or even here on Kaya Biz. Your contribution is always valued, sir.
Thank you very much and have a wonderful festive.
Thank you. That's Kaya Sithole, independent analyst and chartered accountant. He's also a F1 supporter, well, a sports supporter of note, and also giving us some perspective into understanding how South Africa has now officially appointed a bidding committee to actively host the F1, the Formula One racing committee, sports racing, motorsport race in 2026 or 2027.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.